Ben Standing will join us in 45 or 35 minutes on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. Before we continue taking your calls, two pieces of information to share. One that is very much related to Terry McLaurin, and one that could maybe potentially kind of be related to Terry McLaurin. I'm going to start with a kind of related one because it's a little juicier, Max, and it's a little bit more believable. Things are not good in Dallas right now between Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons. Diana Russini of The Athletic reported that things have gotten so bad. She said among the key issues is that Micah Parsons spoke directly to Jerry Jones over multiple days in the spring, and the team believed that that was the negotiation, in that a deal was done, and then when Micah Parsons was like, no, my agent needs to handle this, they have completely cut the agent off of any discussions.
That agent, also George Pickens' agent.
Also George Pickens' agent, which is very odd, and probably means that George Pickens is not going to play for them next year. But it also means that the relationship between Michael Parsons and the Cowboys is vastly deteriorating.
Yeah, I read the Russini. The really interesting part of that Diana Russini tweet was the considering an announcement that he would sever the ties with the team, which would be remarkably interesting to me. Just
you don't really know, like, that we've seen something like that before.
Exactly.
A player the caliber of Michael Parsons, who at the very worst is a top four defensive player in the league. At the very best, you could argue, when healthy, is like two on that list. In his prime, being like, I hate them, I'm out. Now, that leads to a question.
Music to my ears.
And that question is, yes. If Michael Parsons is going to disintegrate his relationship with Dallas, yes, Adam Peters should make the call.
Easily.
Just be like, hey, Jerry, you up? What's going on?
What team you with, boy?
I know you like, you know, publicity. How about we make something public here and then go and see if you can get Michael Parsons?
Where are the Commanders, son? Oh, we're in Canada, Jerry. You can just ship them on up to the CFL.
That's gonna be something that we're gonna pay a lot of attention to. Here is the other piece of information that I discovered during the break. You are going to take this with a massive grain of salt, but we are going to take it nonetheless.
Was this on an ESPN show this morning?
Stephen A. Smith says that he is hearing Washington is offering Terry $27 million per year.
Let's hear it.
According to his sources.
Kimberly and fellas, how wise it is for him to take this position at this particular moment in time. The brother is a guy that registers 1,000-yard seasons with regularity. He can ball. He is a valuable asset to their franchise. My sources tell me right now they're at about $27 million with him. To me, if they came, I think they should at least come up to 30. There's no question about that.
I mean, yeah.
Here's the thing. Respectfully.
You don't believe Stephen A. Smith's
sources? Has he ever gotten this right?
Probably not.
No is the answer to that. He is not a reporter anymore. Does he have people that have information? Certainly. Does he have people within the organization that would knowingly give information to Stephen A. Smith? I'm going to guess the answer to that is no.
No.
I'm going to guess the answer to that is no. You know how you would play the game? If the Commanders are going to leak something, you know how you play the game? I don't know that I would necessarily leak it to a guy like Stephen A. I would leak it to a guy that's sitting across the hall from us. Leak it to like a J.P. Finley or like a John Kime or someone that is in the market to where you look at it with a degree of like, oh, yeah, this is much more serious.
Or, now hear me out, or you leak it to Lewis Riddick, who then lets it slip to Stephen A. Smith, who then goes on First Take later that morning and says this number.
I hope they're not playing that game of telephone. That gets a little convoluted.
Very dangerous.
I believe they should be offering him at the very least 27. If that number is lower, there's some issues. Because you could, like, hey, if we're offering you 27, you're asking for 31, let's meet in the middle at 29. Let's meet in the middle of 29, get you set for week one, move things forward. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your thoughts on Terry McLaurin requesting a trade? Ben Standing in 30 minutes here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Robert is in Annapolis. Robert, what's going on?
Hey, Denton, thanks for taking my call. You know, you've had a really good week. I think you probably deserve a new contract, so maybe the station could do something about that. They certainly should put you on that 1-4 shift. But anyhow, You know, most people, and I understand it, look at this in terms of market value, but it very well may be that Adam Peters is one of those GMs that doesn't really do it that way unless he's vying for somebody else's player as a free agent. He very well may be just evaluating the receiver. He's building a team. He's still building a team. So he may be evaluating the receiver position in the context of the whole team and Terry McLaurin specifically as a player moving forward for the next 2 or 3 years as he builds that team. And I suspect that they're just have taken their stand. You know, they don't need to do anything. They have him under contract for whatever amount he's still due under a contract he signed on the previous regime. Now, if they want to sweeten that a little bit to keep him happy to some degree, I understand. But they're not going to. They're not going to get into this situation where they're dealing with numbers on either side of 30. They don't need to. And at this point, McLaurin should just, you know, he should just pull his cards back, leave the table, and go out and have a good year and come back next year when he's a free agent, even though he can still be franchised. You know, it's a different scenario. These guys, players sign these contracts for 3-4 years, but they always want them to run a year less than they actually signed for. So I just think that's the approach that the team is taking. They've been silent on the issues because they probably feel they don't need to talk about it. When he says there's been no communication, there's no need for Adam Peters to contact Terry regarding the contract. The contract already exists. If Terry wants to change some things, it's up to him to go to Adam Peters. And he certainly should be in camp with his equipment on and practicing with his team. That's what he should be doing. But it's your team, not mine, so good luck with it. Okay.
Robert, I appreciate it. I believe there's definitely been contact since Eastern Motors. In fact, there better have been contact because this agent has been here literally every single day that Terry has been out on the field. The agent has also been out on the field. So there's no way he's just hanging around here. Look, I love Ashburn. I've lived there for a long time. I love Ashburn. I'm not just hanging around there if it's not my home, if I don't have to be. So when the agent was hanging around, it's likely because they are having some sort of conversation. Clearly those conversations haven't been excellent, or we would not be in this position, but they're having some form of conversation. We do have a litmus test, though, for this, Max. We do have a litmus test. Ironically, the litmus test is actually on the team. Deebo Samuel in 2023, when Adam Peters was there, he was not in the role that he is now in San Francisco. John Lynch was the head guy, but he was like second in command to John Lynch. And Adam Schefter tweeted this, which I actually found to be hilarious. He tweeted this. Let me pull this thing up just so I get it as accurate as I can. He pulled up and said, over the past 2 years, at least 3 wide receivers requested trades. T. Higgins, Deebo Samuel, and Brandon Ayuk. None were traded in the year in which they made the request. So the litmus test with this is Deebo Samuel. I think it's ironic because Deebo Samuel is now here. So it is funny that in making a post about Terry McLaurin's requesting a trade, that he uses an example of a guy who now has been traded to the team in which Terry McLaurin is requesting a trade from. But Adam Peters was second in command when they were in San Francisco and Deebo had made this request after he had just signed an extension and had a really, really good year. And he said, I want more. Give me more. And they waited it out. And then he ultimately ended up playing that year. He played 2 more years there in San Francisco before he came to Washington in the form of a trade this offseason. This is the way that Adam Peters operates when it comes to contracts that are not resetting the market. That's an important key piece here. I saw someone in our YouTube chat. We're on YouTube every day at the Team 980. I saw somebody in our YouTube chat say, Denton, are you worried that he's going to do this with Jaden Daniels? No, I am not, because that is going to be a market resetting deal. When you are setting the market, you jump on it. I believe that they are already preparing financially to get that Jaden contract done. This is why you have all these analytics people. It's okay to look ahead and say, we are preparing to get this contract done. I believe that is what they're doing with Jaden. I'm not worried that we are going to get to a situation in August and Jaden Daniels is going to be without an extension when his time comes. But Adam Peters operates, if I don't need to reset the market, we will wait and we will make sure that we get this deal correct, or we will make you go out there and play and make you go out there and earn it. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Les is in Largo. Les, you're on the Team 980.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. One perspective I want to give this is, look, I'm 61, and this guy's, what, 31 or something. Terry, and I could be his father. But one thing that people don't understand, and every time in your career, you got to ask what you came in there for and what you want out of it. We can talk numbers back and forth. But one thing he has to understand, at this stage in his career, it's almost going to be over. And his agent is only going to pump him up because his agent's looking out after, well, after you retire, I got to pump it up so I can tell the next young guy that, hey, I got this much money for you. But one thing they don't understand is that when these guys are retired and then they're gone from here, and before he knows it, he's going to be 40 in a blink of an eye. You're going to want to look back and say, nobody's going to remember, oh, you got this much money over that person. You got that much money over this person. When you get remembered, and he's going to spend hopefully a long life outside of football, the coolest thing he's going to hear is when his kids or his grandkids are going to say, they announced my father or my grandfather as a Super Bowl championship player. Right now, Doc Walker and all those guys probably didn't make as much as these guys made now, but they're probably set for life.
Right.
But if you announce Doc Walker, he's going to hear that the rest of his life and say, hey, it's cool when my kids and my grandkids say, oh, my father played in the NFL. Did he win a Super Bowl? No. My father won 3 Super Bowl champions. My father, that lasts forever.
Yeah.
And you got to remember why you ended. This guy, now it's not like if Terry is like, you know, oh, I'm just some, you know, I'm on the practice squad and I got to get all my money. That's one thing. But he's not. And if he tries to go to another team, Philly or somebody don't need him. So if he goes and gets this money, let's say to the Jets, he might go over there and get it. But then he's going to be in the same situation probably like when he was here when we had Rivera. Then he's going to look over, see us win a Super Bowl either this year or next year. And then when his career ends, he's going to sit back and say, damn, I could have had a Super Bowl ring. And how many players who have gotten these big contracts who long retired and don't have a Super Bowl ring, but yet people who got a little bit less more money can go around and said, guess what? I got a Super Bowl ring.
Hey, Les, I appreciate it. That's a great call. Here's the thing. I'm going to cross over sports. Do you want to be Bryce Harper or do you want to be Ryan Zimmerman? Now, Terry might be a little bit better, all things considered, than like what Zimmerman was, because Zimmerman was never an all-pro in Major League Baseball, but Bryce Harper was traded, the team won a Super Bowl. He had to look back at that and say, they won a Super Bowl without me. Zimmerman was here, and they won a World Series, or I guess World Series for Bryce Harper, but they won a World Series with Ryan Zimmerman. So do you want to be a Bryce Harper, or do you want to be a Ryan Zimmerman? I think that's a fair point, and I do think if he ends up leaving D.C. because of this trade request, there's going to be a part of him that says, man, you know, I wish we would have handled things a little bit differently. 301-230-0980. Ben Standing at noon. More of your calls coming your way next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in.
All right. Well, it's officially official. Terry McLaurin has requested a trade, though the Commanders have been adamant that they will not be trading Terry. Both sides continue to work towards a deal. Hopefully this request can speed up the process. And meanwhile, the Washington Mystics, they fall 68-67 to the Golden State Valkyries. Sonia Citrin led the team in scoring with 16 points. Some MLB trade deadline news after the deadline comes to a close yesterday. Alex Call was traded to the Dodgers from the Washington Nationals for right-handed pitcher Sean-Paul Lignan and right-handed pitcher Eric Swan. Mike Soroka was traded to the Chicago Cubs for shortstop Ronnie Cruz and left fielder Christian Franklin. Kyle Finnegan was let go. He is shipped off to the Detroit Tigers in exchange for right-handed pitcher RJ Sales and right-handed pitcher Josh Randall. The Nats will kick off their series against the Brewers tonight. Mitch Parker expected to get the start versus Milwaukee's Jose Quintana. First pitch at 6:45 and Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.